Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Good morning.
Oh, man.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live, and we are
here.
Yep.
We are here. We are the champions.
Welcoming Pastor Nate Heitzig to
good
the show.
Good to be here.
Dude, so off air, we were talking about Sons. Terrible.
Oh, my gosh. If anyone saw it, I'm seriously done with the show. I told Janae when it was over, I was like, I'm not watching this show anymore.
That makes me sad.
It was horrible.
Yeah. As opposed to all the other times where it's just...
I mean, like, I've seen some really gnarly episodes of a lot of different shows, but this was like one of those episodes where I was just fuming with anger.
Ugh,
and like,
I hate that.
Just like, oh.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's not just like, it's AMC.
Mm-hmm.
AMC.
No, that's on FX. And FX.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, those both
Sons
of those.
I thought Sons was AMC for a second.
No, I mean, that's because it feels like it, because those, you know, both
Sons,
those networks.
Do you know Sons started a thing? It's like Anarchy Afterward, and it's an interview by a like quirky talk show host with stars of the show.
Imagine
and
that.
Guests.
Imagine
I wonder where
that.
They got that from.
Yeah. Yeah, because they did Talking Dead, and then that turned into Talking Bad, and then, yeah.
And now FX does it. So stupid.
Huh. So there you go. I'm sorry.
I feel like they have to do that for shows like that, because you have to talk about it afterwards, because if you don't, you'll kill yourself.
Decompress, yeah. Which is another reason why maybe I guess I should just give up. I can't! I will.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to spoil
no!
it on air.
No, you will not!
I'm
going to
spoil it on air for
oh,
you.
Oh, man. My wife seriously just texted and said, if he ruins something, he will die. My wife somehow has remained spoiler-free throughout. So.
Dude. You guys, like, after I...
Just wait, let me talk about it. We'll talk about it.
You better... When are you going to watch it?
Soon, because we're ready. Like, we got nothing else that we need to, like, roll through. So, we're slowly but surely. We'll get there.
Let me just say this. I'm not going to spoil it. But if one of the stars of the show would have been in my room, in my, like, living room while I watched the show, I would have beat them to death.
Stop it! It's a real human being. You can't say that. It's that gnarly?
Dude, I was so mad.
Dude, you walked in this morning, like, disgusted still, and I'm like, oh, man, you okay? And it was all about the Stevie show that you watched last night. It was so disturbing. I'm like, oh, no. That's bad.
Well, I think this is why. This is why, again, this isn't going to – you. This. I mean, you kind of know this is coming in the show, but – so what happens is
– it's the de-evolution of a character that you're hoping
so
is going to go good.
No, well, not even that. It's just at the very end, throughout the whole show, the kind of the question is there any redemption in these people's lives? You know,
right.
That's the whole premise of the show.
Right.
And so this last episode starts out for the first hour and a half, like so much promise. Like, man, there's redemption. People are doing what's right. Good things are going to happen. There's hope. There's light. And then it's like, poosh, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
Your world sucks and it always will.
Yeah.
That's how the show, like, it's like.
That's one thing. That's like, for those, we talked about this on Comics Corner. And yes, welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate with you. Are you caught up on The Walking Dead?
Yes.
Okay. Without saying anything, because for the listening audience, we don't want to spoil it. But that's how I felt about the build-up of the final few episodes of that show was the idea that they're a man willing to do whatever it takes to take care of his family, to take care of whoever, and turned a corner that you're never too far gone, that we can make this change. And this guy, for the last few episodes, had been making this amazing change. And you're like, dude, knowing as a comic reader, you know that guy's just inherently evil. But I thought maybe, just maybe, that they could make a different character and it'd be a change and it'd be different. No. And it was like... same thing. You get invested in these characters, and it's depressing when they just say nope, and
that episode didn't end, and I didn't feel that dirty feeling. I was like, that was an incredible episode. That was so good.
Yeah.
Like the whole, you know, with that one, there was loss of people that you loved, but I didn't. The loss wasn't like such a. It. I was like ready for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It didn't. It didn't shock me the way that Sons did. So yeah, with Walking Dead, like, it ended and I was like, man, that was a really good episode. With this ended, I was like, I'm never watching that show again.
That's crazy. Okay. All right. Well, welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Speaking of shocking, he's been shocked beyond the point of returning to a television show he loved. So, on that, shall we move on? Are we ready to dig in?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's talk about
studio
this.
At mystaticradio.com. That's our email address. If you're just joining us for the first time, I know we got a lot of new listeners. We broke 5,400 on Facebook yesterday.
That's cool.
So thanks to everybody. If you're not on our Facebook, if you don't follow us there, you can get to facebook.com/mystaticradio, and we'd love to hang out with you.
Does Static have an Instagram?
We do, at mystaticradio. So you can follow us on various iterations of social media. You can also chime in directly to us. If you'd like to keep it anonymous, we get a lot of personal questions, including the one we're about to tackle. And if you would like to keep it anonymous, send us an email, studio@mystaticradio.com. We will absolutely keep your anonymity. We want to respect that, but we also want to help you get through whatever it is you're dealing with in this time. I know it's the Christmas season, and whereas there's a lot of that Christmas joy, it also is a depressing time of year for those who are without loved ones, those who don't have that family, those who don't, whatever. And so we'd love to talk to you, man. Give us a call, 505-338-3700 or studio@mystaticradio.com. We got an email.
Yes, let's take it. I have a question for Nate and Steve-O. My question, when I was 15, I struggled with masturbation. By the grace of God, I got through it. We should have said earmuffs. We should have prefaced that. Hey, earmuffs.
Let's Shock Therapy Live.
Yeah. By the grace of God, I got through it when I was saved shortly after I turned 17, and I no longer struggle with it. However, I do struggle with the guilt that I feel. It is so bad at times that it keeps me from growing in my relationship with the Lord. I get the feeling that it is the devil who is attacking me. I have tried praying and giving it to the Lord, and I feel good for a few days or even a few months, but then the guilt comes back even stronger. How do I stop living in the past and move into our new life that God has for me?
She's right on that being, you know, that is Satan's M.O.
Yeah.
He's the great accuser of the brethren. His job is to steal, to kill, to destroy.
Yeah. You know, I think particularly with sexual sin, I think with sexual sin, we get this sense and this feeling that there's been purity lost or innocence lost by falling into sin like that. And so, the guilt that you feel is like, man, I lost this purity. I'm no longer pure. I'm no longer innocent like I once was. And I always like to steer people to the verse in Isaiah where he says, come now, let us reason. Though your sins are red like scarlet, I will wash them white as snow.
Yeah.
You know, when we think of a bride walking down on her wedding day, she wears a white dress to signify purity. And Jesus tells us that it doesn't matter how bad your sins are, what you did before you came to know me. If you come to me and you let me forgive you, I will wash your sins white as snow. That purity that you lost, he'll give you that purity back again. He'll give you that innocence back again as you trust and have faith in him. And I think that the best way to reassure yourself of that on a daily basis is to stay in the Word.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think that the biggest tool, the biggest weapon we have against Satan is the Word of God. You know, even Jesus, when he combated Satan in the wilderness, he used the Word of God.
Yeah.
He used Scripture to combat Satan. And so I think that as we come into a conflict with Satan where he wants to accuse us, the Bible says he's the accuser of brethren, that the best way we can combat that is with the Word of God, staying in the Word of God on a daily basis, letting the Word of God wash over you. And what's going to happen if you do that is you're going to constantly feel that grace of Christ cover you.
Yeah.
You're going to constantly feel that love of Christ. And I think that that's the best way to combat Satan and the guilt that he brings.
Yeah, absolutely. It's easy to get caught up in that guilt. Some practical steps if you're looking for places to go. I always think of Romans 7, 8, and 9. That's a great area of Scripture where Paul is talking about, man, the things that he didn't want to do, that those were the things that he was doing, the things he's wanting to do, those are the things he's not doing, and who will save me from that, oh wretched man that I am? And the focus is Jesus, because Romans 8 begins with, there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And so dwell in that Scripture. This is just a practical, this isn't this deep theological biblical thing, but I was watching an NBA game recently, and they were talking to the coach of the Spurs, Popovich, asking him about the NBA Finals last year, because they lost in the NBA Finals, and if it still affects him, if it still hurts him. And he had this great practical response that I think a lot of, that can go hand in hand with sin a lot of times. He said, you know, it seemed like every second I was dwelling on it. And then it was every minute. And then it was every hour. And then it was every other hour, every day. And he said, now I'm at a place in time where it seems like about every month or so it creeps up, and I just have to remind myself it's a new season and regain that focus, because it can tear him apart. And if he's not focused on this NBA season and he's constantly just looking at the finals that they lost last year, it's going to tear him down. And I think a lot of times we dwell on our sin. Even after we've repented of our sin, we've turned away, we've given our lives to Christ, but there's that guilt. It stays because we are focused on that. And I think the less you focus on that and the more you focus, as Nate said, on God's word, time, day, hours, minutes, weeks, days, months, years, it'll get a little less and less with that quote-unquote guilt that you're dealing with, because your focus won't be on your guilt anymore. Your focus is going to be on Jesus.
Yeah, you know, and I honestly think that dealing with the guilt, to a certain extent, is selfish. Mm. And what I mean by that is, we either have two views of God and ourselves. Either we are a bigger sinner and God is a smaller God, or God is a bigger God and we're a smaller sinner. Mm. You know, I think the message the gospel gives is that it doesn't matter how big of a sinner you are, you serve a bigger God, and
right,
he can forgive you no matter what your sins. And so I think if we come to a place where we have this constant guilt, I think it's selfish, because we're saying that we believe that we're more powerful and that our sin is more powerful than it really is. And we're underestimating who our God is.
Absolutely.
And so I think we've got to come to a place where we truly view ourselves in the light of the grace of God, the way it was meant to be, and that is that God's grace is sufficient, and I think that we need to understand that.
Absolutely. The phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. You're clued into Shock Therapy Live. Myself and Pastor Nate Heitzig hanging out with you this morning. It's our one-hour call-in show focused on you. What's going on with your life? What's going on in the season of your life? We want to be able to point you to Scripture and guide you through it. There's a lot of things that aren't necessarily talked about, that don't get to get talked about from the pulpit, because they're a little intimate, and that's where Shock Therapy Live comes in. We would love to just be able to talk to you about what's going on in your world, like that last emailer.
Yep, and we got another one that's pretty similar to that.
Okay.
Kind of struggling with the guilt and trust. And
okay.
Says, my fiance and I have been living together for about 2 years now. First problem. Recently, I've confessed my addiction to pornography to her, and that has caused a lot of trust issues. We're engaged to be married on Friday, 12/13, but I feel we need to work on our trust issues before marriage. I feel like a marriage should have trust. With that, I feel the need to work on our relationship and hold off on the wedding until we can resolve our problems. I've brought up the idea of living separately until we were ready to marry. Would it still be sinful to live together even if we don't sleep in the same bed and are rarely home at the same time? I really want to do things right by the Lord and place Him as our foundation. Well, this is what I'm going to say first of all. I'm glad that you want to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Better late than never. But, I think that this is a huge issue for couples. And I think that what happens, and we've talked about this before, is that when you live together and when you give something that was meant for only marriage and you have this intimate relationship, what's happened is, in essence, you guys have been married for 2 years.
Right.
You just haven't called yourselves married. And so you haven't been doing it the right way. You haven't been doing it the Lord's way. And what happens is a trust issue does happen, because when you have sex outside of marriage, when you have sex before you're married, what happens once you get married is it causes this doubt that you say, if they were willing to compromise then, why wouldn't they be willing to compromise now?
Yep.
Now that, compounded with your admission of a struggle with pornography, further complicates this, because then she says, he's struggled with this for some time and he hasn't told me till just now.
Right.
He probably still struggles with it, and he's compromising his faith in Christ by living with me. And so what happens is then she questions and says, is there anything he won't do for himself?
Yeah.
And so a huge trust issue comes into this relationship. And so I think it would be, personally, this is just me, a really good idea to say, hey, we're going to hold off on the marriage. I want to do this the right way. Here at Calvary, we will not marry somebody if they're living together. We will mandate that they're separated for at least 6 months from the same house before we'll even consider marrying them. And so I think it would be really good to say, hey, you know what? We've been doing this the wrong way. I want to do this the right way. We're going to, you know, press the brakes. We're going to put this on hold, and we're going to do this God's way, so that we know that our marriage will be built on a solid foundation.
Absolutely. What's 6 months when compared to the rest of your life with someone? Because this is a lifelong covenant relationship, and I wholeheartedly agree with you. I commend you for coming out and saying, hey, man, I am struggling with this and I want to do this the right way. I think we should hold off on the marriage. I think maybe we should not live together. So kudos for stepping up and recognizing the sin in your life and wanting to get help and wanting to make a change, because it is a lifelong decision to get married. And all too often men decide, man, I just can't share this. I'm going to wait. Don't worry. Once I'm married, I won't struggle with pornography or I won't struggle with sex addiction because I'm going to be having sex all the time with my spouse and it's going to just take that away. And The interesting thing is it just compounds it. That's a false logic, thinking that if you're struggling with a sex addiction or with pornography, that if you get married, it's going to take it away. You're just adding a partner into...
Well, because you're going into the marriage then viewing your wife as the toy, or viewing your wife as the fulfilling object, not even a person, to fulfill that desire.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that'll just destroy your marriage.
Yeah. So kudos to whoever chimed in with that email. Let's go to the phone lines. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I actually am really taken back by the topic today. That's pretty heavy, dude. That's pretty heavy stuff, and it really has ministered to me. I know I myself have struggled with that, like, you know, for years. Even being in ministry, I kind of got to the point where I can't tell no one.
Right.
I can't let no one know my secret. And then you think, you know, if you're gonna go to leadership, it's like, oh no, like they're gonna judge me and they're gonna think I'm this horrible person. But it got so bad to the point in my life to where I hid it, and then I was just committing all these horrible acts that were just like ridiculous. Well, horrible in my eyes, because it was like, I know it was hurting God.
Right.
And, you know, I just, for the person, you know, the person that sent that email to, like, on the guilt, you know, it's like, it's a trap, man. That guilt is just trying to, like, make you feel, like, unworthy. You know?
Oh, yeah.
To me, it's like, dude, like, that was hard. I guess I had a question, too, is, like, that is a huge thing. Guilt, I think, is the one thing that you feel like, I'm dirty now and God can't clean me up. But you really like hit my heart when you guys said about, you know, is God bigger than that? You know, are you making God bigger than the sin, or are you making, you know, yourself? The way you guys worded that, though, like, it was just like, wow, like, that's true, because it's like, that is selfish of me, because who am I to say that God can't, you know, remove that? You know, who am I to say that God, once he cleansed me and forgave me and freed me from that, I'm not free completely? Why should I, how dare I feel guilty and belittle his work in my life? Like, that was amazing, man. Like, you guys really hit the head of the nail, like, for sure.
Well, and now I do want to say this as well, because I think that we need to be clear that at times guilt is a good thing. And I think what we're talking about, and I think what you're talking about as well, is that if we feel guilt for sin that we've already confessed to God, that we've already been forgiven, like, let's say, you know, I did something 2 years ago and I'm still feeling guilty for that, even though I'm not doing that anymore, even though I've been, I've asked forgiveness, even though I've repented of that, that's the kind of guilt that we don't want to feel.
Right.
Now, there are times when we're stuck in sin currently, that we're currently stuck in sin. I've heard people say, man, you know, I just feel so guilty because, you know, I'm doing this, I'm cheating on my wife, I'm, you know, I'm doing this and that. And how do I just stop feeling guilty? In that situation, guilt's a good thing.
Right.
And we should feel guilty. Because in that moment, you know, we're stuck in sin. We're trapped in sin. And I've heard people say, man, I just feel like such a bad person. That's because you are. You're doing bad things. And we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God.
Right.
And the first step to overcoming that is repenting of that sin and running from
turning
that sin. You know what I mean? And recognizing, I think there's a time and a place, you know. So I think that in the Christian camp, we can go to one of two extremes. We can either say, man, you know, you've got to view yourself, stop viewing yourself in guilt, view yourself as an awesome child of God, and view yourself as great. And so what happens, you have these people that are running around sinning, and they're just saying, oh man, I'm forgiven in the sight of God, I'm not going to feel guilty.
Right.
And it creates these just abhorrent sinners. But then there's the other people who just feel guilty for years and years and years and never get past it. I think there's a middle ground. We've got to come to a place where we view ourselves as we really are, as sinners, as dirty sinners. But then coming to a place where we realize what we've been forgiven of that and experiencing the freedom and the grace of Christ. So I think there's a middle ground there.
Yeah, that's that really that's the, I'm speechless. That's completely right. I mean, that's completely right. I've been guilty of doing that myself. I can't say I'm not guilty of that. I did. I'm covered by grace, so I don't have to worry about it. But it's like, that doesn't give me the right to live my life any way I want.
Right.
Like, and I don't know, but I guess I had a question, too, is advice, if you will. Is it, let me see, like, how do I say it? Like, when I got married, dealing with all of that, I kind of felt like I wish I could have given my wife more. Like, I wanted my, I always had this image of myself, like I was like, okay, I'm going to be this kind of husband, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And I always felt like when I got, dealing with all of that before I met my wife, and then when I met my wife, I just felt like I wish I was a better person. I could have been a better person, so when I met her, I didn't have all that baggage.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I guess I felt like you want your wife to be your first, and you know what I mean? Like, I wish I could have given her that. To still carry that baggage, or to still feel like, oh man, like, you know, like a regret, like, I guess, regrettable. If that doesn't go away, like, how do you deal with something like that? To stop feeling regrettable, like, man, I just when you hear other people's stories and they're like, wow, I saved myself for my wife, or I saved myself till, and it's like, man, I wish, I guess I get kind of envious, like, I wish that could have been me, like, why couldn't that have been me? Why did I have to struggle with that? Why did I have to deal with that? Why couldn't I save myself till I met my wife and got married and on my wedding night?
I think the problem with your thinking, because we've all been there, we've all had those regrets, but you're thinking in what ifs. There is absolutely nothing you can do now to go back and change what has already been done. I heard a pastor, Craig Rochel, talk about this, and he said, you can't unsin, but you can repent. And, you have done that. Obviously this isn't something that is continuing now. You're talking about a regret that you had in your past years ago. And I'll never forget when I went to my pastor with a similar thing, because, man, I wish that very thing that I could have given my wife more. It's going to hurt me to sit down with my sons and tell them the truth of my story and how I was not able to offer that because I was not I don't want to say strong enough. I don't have that story, and one of my best friends in the world does, and I always point to him and say, here is an incredible dude who was able to. And so rather than beat yourself up and say, man, I wish I could have done that, maybe it's an opportunity to speak to that next generation and say, you have an opportunity. And so instead of you living in that regret and just dwelling on your sin, which is exactly what we're talking about, maybe you pour that towards somebody else. We lost them. They'll call back. 505-338-3700. But, I mean, you can't. It sounds like you're just living in the past. And I'll never forget the first time a pastor told me, dude, have you repented of the sin? Yes. Have you turned away from this sin? Yes. Then you need to stop praying for forgiveness and start praying for healing of your mind, because obviously you're forgiven and you are doubting God, and you are placing yourself in the position of authority to atone for your sin. God's already done that for you. Stop, you know? So.
Yeah, you know, and I think through this as well. I think that regret is something that you're never going to be able to fully rid yourself of. I think that regret will always be there. And I think that that's a consequence of sin. I think we need to understand that even though we're forgiven, even though we don't have to feel the guilt of sin, we're always going to still feel the consequences of sin because sin has consequences. And I look at a guy like, for instance, Solomon, and I read Ecclesiastes, and I see riddled in this book a lot of regret.
Yeah.
He was forgiven and he had experienced the grace of God, and yet I still see this regret.
Yeah.
You know, I see at the very end, he said, man, at the end of all my life, and I look at everything that I've done, all is vanity. And the only thing that I can encourage you to do as I look at my life is to seek God in the days of your youth.
Yeah.
You know, and that was Solomon's end all. And I look at that statement, I'm like, man, that was a man who was riddled with regret.
Yeah.
And he said, man, if I could have done things differently, I would have. I can't. But what I can do is I can look at my life and say, don't do what I did. Seek God in the days of your youth. And I think God can use our regret. And I think that regret can be a healthy thing as well, because you learn from your mistakes. And when you come to that sin in the future, you say, man, I'm still regretting sending you to the first place? Why would I want to do that now?
Right. Yeah.
And so I think that regret can be a good thing to a certain extent. So I think we need to differentiate regret from guilt. If you let your regret turn to guilt, to where you're just constantly in the state of, man, what have I done? Yeah. Why did I do that? That's guilt, and that's not healthy. But regretting doing something is completely normal. If you didn't regret doing that, there'd be an issue.
Yeah. Well, you'd continue in it. If there was no regret, you'd just keep doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
thank you guys so much. I
mean,
truly, I do receive all of your advice. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling in, man.
All right. Bye-bye. You guys have a great day.
You
too. God bless, man.
God bless you. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. We are up against our first break, but coming back, we want to talk to you. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. You can also send us an email if you'd like to ask a question anonymously. Our email address to the studio, it's easy, studio@mystaticradio.com. Email us and write back in a couple short seconds. And we'll take some more of these phone calls, more of your questions on Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Yep.
Static Radio.
Christmas Eve at Calvary Albuquerque is a very special time. Come out for a family service at 2 p.m. and enjoy a birthday cake for Jesus. Christmas Eve services at 4 and 6 p.m. also available, with Bible Island open for children. And you can come for a time of worship featuring Calvary Albuquerque's Battle Drums worship team and a message by Pastor Skip. All the times and details are at calvaryabq.org. And Merry Christmas to all.
Connect to a hotspot with Skip Heitzig.
God put them in the weirdest route, and he brought them to the Red Sea. And so on one side, there were mountains and desert. It was impassable. On the other side, mountains and desert, uncrossable. Before them was a body of water, uncrossable, they thought. And if they ever wanted to get out of that cul-de-sac, they couldn't, because just when they thought, this is crazy, the Egyptian army boxed them in. So you know what God was doing? Deliberately putting them into a trap. You know why? Because God wants to show them that he has resources they knew nothing about. That God can get them out of situations that are impossible to get out of.
Want to hear more from Skip Heitzig? Visit skipheitzig.com/hotspot. Or for a free teaching, call 1-800-922-1888.
Shock Therapy Live. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on facebook.com/mystaticradio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back.
Oh my gosh.
It is Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig hanging out with you. If you would like to hang out with us, give us a call.
You can hang out with us. 505- we're not going to let you in here.
338-3700. You can hang out with us through the airwaves. It's
through
like hanging
the
out.
Airwaves.
It's like hanging out. It's kind of like hanging out.
Hmm.
You know. So before the break, we had a few email questions, and we tackled them mostly, and then we kind of got off on a tangent with the caller about guilt, and we didn't have a chance to finish up the question in its entirety because it was like a three-part question. So if you're just joining us, we had a question about a couple living together, pre-marriage.
Yep, you're dealing with pornography. And so
yeah.
the end part of this question was this: would it still be sinful to live together even if we don't sleep in the same bed and are rarely home at the same time? Now, I know we've talked about this before. I know mm-hmm. I've talked to a lot of people. What would you say to this?
Yes.
Why?
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't matter. Sleeping in the same bed, one, not usually around the same time. There's this thing called temptation, especially if you're rarely at home at the same time and da-da-da-da-da. If you're rarely seeing each other and all of a sudden you're living in the same sleeping quarters, all you're doing is providing for a temptation right in your face. It's that blatant. I immediately thought of Samson in the book of Judges when Delilah's like, hey, man, where's your power come from? And he's like, this. And he keeps trying to fake her out and fake her out and fake her out. And then he tells her the truth, thinking, well, you know, I'll just get up out of bed like I did before and go take out these Philistines. Oh, wait, I've lost my power. Because if you keep trying to do the same thing over and over and over, eventually those consequences, there's going to be a cost to that sin, and flat out it's sin. And so you're setting yourself up for failure.
You know, this is what I would say to your own admission. you struggle with being pure, you struggle with pornography, you struggle with sexual sin.
Yes.
So do you think, just I'm going to ask you, and you can answer this question on your own time, do you think it's a good idea for someone who struggles with purity, struggles with sexual sin, to live with a person that they're sexually attracted to and have access to that person 24 hours a day?
Right.
No, it's a bad idea.
Right.
You know, I tell couples this when they first start dating, not even not to live together, but to call a curfew at a certain hour, say, you know what, we're not going to be in a house alone together. We're not going to, you know, lay down on a couch together, to set up certain boundaries to keep yourself sexually pure.
Yeah.
Now, living together is as close as you can get to being married without being married.
Right.
And so if you give one another that, then you're going to take the first opportunity that you get to be sexually active with one another.
Yeah.
So it's just it's an unwise idea. And also, this is something else we tell people. The Bible says to avoid the appearance of evil. Now, if you see a couple who's been dating for 2 years and is about to get married and you find out they're living together, do you think they're just, sleeping in separate beds and right. playing it safe?
Right.
No, you think they're having sex every night. You think they're like beavers just going at it.
Beavers
you
know? Have sex every night?
I don't know. Oh, okay. I just picture animals like they just do it all the time. But You know, it just looks bad. It doesn't look pure. And so it's a stumbling block to people around you. You know, if you tell people you're a believer but you live with your girlfriend, it just doesn't look good. So I would throw that in there as well to avoid the appearance of evil.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those that are listening who say, oh, okay, cool. Well, he said because this guy struggles with sexual temptation, then that doesn't apply to me. I've been with my girlfriend for this long. We've never had sex, so it's going to be okay. Let me tell you, man, if you are not sexually attracted to your fiance, you got deeper issues. So, of course, you're going to be sexually attracted to the person you want to spend the rest of your life with. God, I hope you are. You know, so the idea of living in the same house, it's just a bad idea at the end of the day. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. You can also email us, studio@mystaticradio.com. Oh, we just got
another question in.
I saw Kirk Cameron. I'm like, Kirk Cameron?
Man, Kirk is sending a question, man.
Yeah.
I love Kirk. Left Behind, one of the greatest movies of all time.
You know they're remaking that right now.
That's a bad decision.
Nick Cage.
Doesn't matter. Okay.
He makes everything better.
No, he makes everything worse. He's had, I found out why. Have you noticed he's had like a series of bad decisions for movies? Like really bad decisions. Like the last good movie he was in was like Con Air. Like, it's been bad decisions for years, years.
Wasn't Con Air like the same year as The Rock? That was a good movie. The Rock was way better than
Con Air. Had like, so 90s. He hit his peak in the 90s, then it was downhill from there. Just bad decisions from there.
I don't know.
So,
bro.
But I found
Sorcerer's
out why.
Apprentice.
I found out why. So he ran into huge tax problems that he like owes the IRS millions and millions of dollars. And so he had to make money to pay the IRS back. So he was just taking any movie that he could to make a bunch of money. And so he's like been in really bad movies because of that.
Yeah. Hey, in the 90s, he did this movie that was terrible called Face Off. I don't know if you remember that. So he made bad decisions then as well. So
yeah, but his only good movies were back then.
Yeah. I secretly like Nick Cage.
Do you really?
Yeah, not necessarily all the movies he's been in, but yeah, I don't think.
What's the last good Nick Cage movie that you've seen?
I can think of one off the top of my head that I just.
What?
Because he played this father. He was a superhero. He played a dad.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, but that wasn't like.
He was
man.
Great. He was great.
But you wouldn't look at that and be like, "Man, that was a great movie."
No, it wasn't a great movie. He just did a good job of acting in that film.
Yeah, he was a bit, I mean, if you looked at his IMDb, it would be a list of depression. Like, if I was Nick Cage and I looked at my own IMDb, I would drink scotch for 2 hours because I'd be depressed.
And then he did leave in Las Vegas, so there we go.
Oh my gosh. All right, good morning. Happy to finally hear Shock Therapy live. I'm usually in class at this time, but no class today. Hey, good for you. I'm curious what your thoughts are on moving from friendship into a relationship, but doing it in a godly way which will maintain respect for the other person. I tend to jump right into things without thinking much about it, and it has not worked out in the past. When can, should, the friendship status change to a relationship, one centered on God and one with marriage as a goal? This is vague on purpose. Thanks, guys. Anonymous. Just a little heads up, when you're anonymous, you don't have to be vague. Just for the future. When no one knows who you are, there's no need to be vague.
Amazing!
I am anonymously vague.
About that.
Anonymously vague.
Yeah, details would have helped.
Hypothetically, I'm a person who lives on Earth, and hypothetically, I'm dealing with something. I'm anonymous and I'm vague. What should I do? Well, become a real human being.
Yeah.
Ask us a question.
The best part is it's a relationship question that is all about communication and honesty. So this is, you're starting off fantastically.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I think that the best way to do this is to be very clear with your intentions, yeah. Not just to the person, but to the person's parents. I think that there's a, you know, I think that some, I don't know. I'm going to let you talk for a second.
No, okay.
I'm going to stop talking.
No. I you know what I immediately thought of? I don't care how cliche this is. If you're already really good friends and you guys are already hanging out, why not go out for coffee? Why not go somewhere, have lunch, do something, and discuss this? Hey, I'm interested in pursuing you. I know you were going the route of going to the parents too.
Yeah.
We don't know how old you are. And so I would actually just be own it. Open and honest about it and tell this person if you're interested in this person, if you've developed this great friendship and you're interested in it developing into a great relationship with marriage as the goal, and this other person is a solid believer and you know, hey, I want to spend my life with this person. So talk to him about it. What would that look like? Hey, what are your life goals? It's amazing when you're friends and you can just openly discuss this, because if you've already developed a friendship, man, the hard part's over. You just bro down.
Bro down.
Bro down. Talk to him. Open yourself up.
Unless it literally is a bro, then don't do that. You know, I can't tell you what you should do, but I can tell you what my wife and I did. When my wife and I started having feelings towards one another, I did the same thing. I went to coffee with her. I said, hey, can we go get coffee at Starbucks? We went to coffee. And I said, hey, I want to let you know that I really appreciate our friendship. I really enjoy hanging out with you. And I don't know if you feel the same way that I do, but I've been feeling more feelings towards you than just friendship feelings. I don't think I actually said that, because that sounds cheesy. I wouldn't have said that. But I said something to the effect of, I want to pursue this relationship deeper than just friendship. I feel a call to date you with the pursuit of marriage in mind. I don't want to waste our time. I don't just want to date for the sake of dating, but I want to date you with the pursuit of marriage. And I want to know if you feel the same way. You don't have to answer now. If you want to pray about it for a week,
yeah,
that's fine. But if you come back and say yes, I want you to feel a calling from God that this should end in marriage, because if it can't end in marriage, then we shouldn't start it in the first place. And
yeah,
so I was really honest with her about that. And then when she came back and said, yes, I want to do that, I said, okay, I want to call your dad. And so that's when I called her dad and I said, hey, Mr. Chapin, I want permission to date your daughter with the pursuit of marriage in mind. I want to honor her. I want to treasure her. And I want to look out for her, and I want your blessing on it.
Unfortunately, our bleep button's broken, so we can't tell you his answer.
Yes. It involved the sound of a shotgun click and several expletives.
Just kidding.
No, but what happened is that act not just meant a lot to her dad, but it meant a lot to her.
Yeah.
Because it showed her that she was treasured. It showed her that she was cared for, and
yeah,
that she was valuable.
Yeah.
It started the relationship off on the right foot. And it also gave us something to work for, because we knew that we didn't just start this relationship off as like, oh, we met each other at a bar, we had sex that night, and we're like, well, maybe we should date now.
Right.
You know, we started the relationship off right, and so it helped the relationship stay on the right course and on the right track.
Yeah, absolutely. Great questions this morning. People are thinking in this time of season for some reason. I like it.
It's the time.
This is the purpose of Shock Therapy Live. So we love getting emails, phone calls like that. 505-338-3700.
Give it to me, baby.
It's 505-338-3700.
What it means to me.
It seems like we got more anonymous emails this morning than we did.
I mean, than anything else.
So if you'd like to send us an anonymous email, please do so. I promise we will keep your information private. It's just, we want to hang out with you. We know that it can be uncomfortable trying to talk to us on the air, especially with something as intimate as relationships or a struggle that's going on in your life. So, but don't just dwell on it, hide it. You know, we want to talk to you. We will respect that. So studio@mystaticradio.com is the way to get a hold of us. We got to take one more quick break. Coming back, we want to hear from you. It's Shock Therapy Live. It's your chance to call in. Don't be sitting at home saying, man, I got this thing going on, but I really just, what if they recognize my voice? What if, just call in. We want to talk to you. We don't care. We just want to hear from you.
Or if you want to write in, as an anonymous vague person, you can do that as well.
Do that as well. We love
anonymously
love
vague.
Like amazing.
Yeah.
Quick break. Right back with more Shock Therapy Live. Static Radio.
Peace.
The Christmas season is upon us, and figuring out what to buy for everyone on your list can be a challenge, especially when you want to give a gift that not only lasts, but shows you care. The 2013 Connection Christmas Catalog offers some wonderful solutions. One great idea is our Women's Gift Set, which includes a Walk by Faith 365-day perpetual calendar, a Walk by Faith journal, and a stylish bracelet that is a beautiful reminder of Christ's love. It will make a refreshing gift to every woman you know, helping them to deepen their relationship with Jesus. As our gift to you, shipping is free when you order from the Connection Christmas Catalog. Be sure to order early so you receive your gifts in time for Christmas. Learn more about the Walk by Faith journal and order today at skipheitzig.com. And if you would like to talk to someone about the catalog and get more details, you can do that when you call 1-800-922-1888. That's 1-800-922-1888.
This is The Wire.
Okay, so you know those billboards that say your ad here? Okay, so that this is just like that, except not because it's radio and you can't see us, which you know, we know that you know. But this is where if you had a free event going on, people could be hearing about it. Instead of hearing me talk about this right now, they'd be hearing about your event, which would be stellar. So hey, send us your event details for free events. That's a key thing here. Free. Hey, and you know, don't forget the date. I don't know what it is, but sometimes people get so excited, they'll forget the date.
Do you have a free event going on? Submit your event details for The Wire at mysteticradio.com.
And please make sure it's right. We're trusting that the information you give us is correct. Thanks for your time. I'm glad we had this talk.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Better yet, chime in now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
That's right.
Yes.
We've decided.
We were just talking about the best toys ever.
Yeah, I say we decided that if you guys don't call in with your serious questions, we're just going to talk about our favorite toys.
Star Wars toys.
Man, they are the best, aren't
they? The best toys ever.
I remember, speaking of relationships and marriage, my one job when I was getting married was the cake topper. Mm. That was my one job. And day of, I realized that I had totally skipped out on my one duty. And I went into the garage and rummaged through, because I have boxes of Star Wars toys in the packaging, because I'm a nerd. And I pulled out a Han Solo and a Princess Leia. I can't remember how long it took me to open them.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I was staring at them like...
So you opened them?
Yeah. Man. Yeah, I wasn't going to put the packages on top of our cake.
Yeah.
So I opened them, and I had to get a lighter because, remember, their arms were, stiff. So I got a lighter and, kind of melted their arms a little bit so that they would, kind of open their arms up a little bit so they would look like they were kind of holding hands.
Oh, my gosh. Star Wars fans around the world... are like, they're just had a heart attack. They're like having convulsions. They're breathing heavy into a paper bag right now, and they're thinking evil thoughts of what they want to do to you. They're going, I want to kill him. I want to kill him.
Think more evil thoughts about the kids that were at our wedding, because those cake toppers, by the end of the night, went missing. At first, it was just their blaster pistols. I was like, hey, where's Han Solo's blaster pistol? Somebody stole Han's, or Grandma ate it. I'm not sure. Either way, that makes way more sense.
I like that idea better.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the idea of Grandma pooping out Han Solo. Actually, I scratched that. I don't like that idea. It's a bad idea, but it's also humorous.
So far, we've learned that you think about animals doing it all the time, and you think about Grandma pooping Han Solo.
I just picked it. I'm constipated. Oh, no, that's Han Solo, Grandma.
That's why it's called Shock Therapy Live. 505-338-3700.
Dude, you know what was great about... It was really brilliant marketing, because what happened is... So the first movie comes out, and you get all the toys. You've got the original Han Solo with the vest and the white shirt. And then it's like, oh, wait, the next movie comes out. Now there's two different Han Solos. Now there's Han Solo in, camouflage gear, and there's Han Solo in, snow gear.
I was going to say the snow gear was my favorite. Yeah. And then... Because I got the Tauntaun, and then his stomach opened up. You can fit Luke Skywalker in there.
Yep,
oh,
yep.
Crap.
And then what was the, like, so the snow great. Beast? I had the snow beast.
Oh, did you have the little? Could you hang Luke upside down? Okay.
Yep.
Oh. Dude. Awesome.
Such cool toys.
Yeah.
Did you have the walkers? The
AT-ATs? Yeah. Or the? I was not cool enough. I got the Millennium Falcon. That was the big one for
me. That was cool.
And Slave One, Boba Fett's ship, I got. But the walker was one that I always wanted. There were two toys when I was a kid that I always wanted that I never got. And then as a grown up, I just was like, nah, the AT-AT from Star Wars. And then do you remember the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier?
No, I wasn't into G.I. Joe's.
Oh, dude. It was a full on aircraft carrier. And you could put, like, the ships on there. You could put everything on there.
But
the
see,
planes.
You have to have a pool to play with that.
This is true.
Because, like, some of the toys you can play with in the bathtub.
Yeah,
like,
this one you couldn't. This one you were, it was, like in a garage
somewhere. Where do you
somewhere.
Play with that?
Yeah, it was the aircraft carrier. Of course,
it's like
I was,
your,
like,
your friends
six,
invite you to
so.
A pool party. Hey, come to a pool party. You bring your freaking aircraft carrier. Like, oh, man, here's this kid with his G.I. Joe aircraft carrier.
Oh, it took, like, three
Let's
people.
Let's throw things at him.
It was, like, a 6 foot long, like, big old aircraft carrier. You couldn't, well, at least when I was a kid, it felt
And then your
like
friends want to play with you. Hey, go touch it. It's a collectible.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Good morning.
I had the Han Solo the carbonite.
Oh, of course, frozen in carbonite.
Did you have that one?
Yeah. Well, Slave One originally, like,
yep.
You could, yeah. So, anyways,
man.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Is this a toy question or is this a real question?
Is this a real question?
This is a real question.
Okay.
Real question. Okay.
We better get our serious pants on.
Focus.
Sorry, okay. I got to be serious on you guys here.
That's totally cool.
Han Solo can work.
That's the purpose of Shock Therapy Live. So,
when I was growing up, my mother was really mean and very hurtful to me for a lot of years. I was constantly ridiculed and called names, and a lot of things about my size. She thought I was too fat, and then as I developed as a teenager, I was only going to be good for certain jobs on the streets, kind of a thing. It was very, very hurtful. And then, after I went to college, she stopped talking to me that way, and she stopped being like that. And I found out that my mom was a drug addict. Mm. Mostly marijuana, but she did dabble in some other things through my childhood. And that a lot of those points was when she hadn't had anything in a while. And we actually developed a relationship because she was nice and she was great and she's wonderful. And then about 2 years ago, she started again. Mm-hmm. And so I told her that I didn't want to be around it again. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And I didn't want to ever have her talk that way to my children. I don't have children yet, but I'm planning in the next year or so to start trying to get pregnant with my husband, and I don't want my kids to ever be talked to that way.
Right.
Well, it was a big fight last year when it came to Christmas with my husband, and it's turning into a big fight again this year that he thinks I should go and be with my family, but I know she's going to be there, and I haven't spoken to them, and I haven't spoken to my parents in 2 years, and I don't want... I mean, how can I go and say it's okay? And, you know, what am I going to do when I do have kids in a couple, you know? How is Christmas going to be handled then? And how are these, and I don't know what to do.
I think you're trying to paint the whole house right now. I think what you need to do is you've got a job to do and you got to paint the entire house, but you're looking at the entire house like, man, I got to paint this house. And I think you really just need to start with trying to paint the bathroom, which is spending time with her this Christmas. Don't even think about two years from now and what if you have kids and all that. Focus on what is in front of you, and that is this first encounter.
Yeah, I think that you can show love.
Yes.
Without spending every day with a person. So I think that instead of saying, you know, I think that, yeah, man, if your mom's doing drugs, if she's in this lifestyle, by all means, you shouldn't like encourage that and say, hey, every Sunday we're going to come over to your house so that my kids can see you do drugs. Mm-hmm. That's not what you need to do. But I think at the same time, you can still show love. You know, I think there's a side of my family, that is very entrenched in sin and that, is very wicked in a lot of the things that they do. And yet at the same time, we don't ostracize them and say, man, you know, because I'm a Christian, that means that I cannot ever see you or I can't ever show love to you. And I think it goes a long way. We just spent time with him recently, it goes a long way to show that, man, even though I'm a Christian, I love Jesus Christ, I can still show you love. And my faith doesn't separate me from the world. My faith, in turn, causes me to love you more.
Right.
And so I think that there's a balance between that, between, you know, encouraging her lifestyle and showing her love. And I think that you have to find that middle ground of how you can do both.
Yeah, I think there's great power in being able to forgive, to be in a room with her even. And I mean, imagine when your mother is broken down and has nowhere to go and she's turning to drugs and the drugs are exhausted or the money's exhausted or whatever, who is she going to turn to in need? I've always prayed for my family members who are caught up in lifestyles like that, that I would be able to show love enough to where they would call me. They would turn to me because I want to be the one to point them to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But you're right. There are family members that I just can't spend – I can't hang out with on a daily basis. I do have kids, and I don't want to have to deal with that for my kids' sake. However, if there's an opportunity that presents itself in a safe environment where I know that I can be a light in front of them and hang out, by all means, I will be there. Yes, with all of the hurts of the past, because you got to remember, you have been forgiven of so much. So how can you not forgive others who have sinned against you? I would show that love and that grace and that mercy and that compassion.
Yeah.
And I would go forth for Christmas. You're going to have your husband with you, who thinks it's a good idea for you to be there to begin with. And if your husband's by your side, I say go for it.
Yeah, because the difference
is now
you're older and you have a support system now. You have
Absolutely.
Your husband. And I would just, before you go, talk about your husband, say, man, you know, if she starts getting combative, if she starts getting, you know, whatever, rude or saying things, then we're going to leave.
Yeah,
you know?
Don't have to stand there and take abuse if she's just calling you names and being a jerk all day.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So you're at a different place in life. And so I would even talk to her, say, hey, mom, we're going to try to spend Christmas with you, but I'm going to let you know that if you start saying hurtful things, we're going to leave.
Yeah.
And you know, set up some boundaries and some safeguards before you do that.
Yeah. Does that help?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
thanks
you're
for
welcome.
Calling. We are out of show.
It is Finney.
Yeah. I let the music play late, but that we wanted to tackle that.
Yes.
For sure, so... Shock Therapy Live comes to an end. If you missed any part of the show, you can catch the podcast at mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. Maybe we weren't able to answer your question. Maybe you just weren't at a place where you felt bold enough yet to ask that question. We have tackled many, many different issues on this show. You can find the archives at our website as well, mystaticradio.com, and it's a free download to pick up any issue of Shock Therapy Live.
Peace out.
All right. I'm going to go console my friend Nate here on a show that he used to love that he's got to say goodbye to.
And I'm going to go drink profuse amounts of coffee until I can wash my sorrows away.
That's it for us. Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Goodbye. Good riddance. Sayonara.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.